This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
WIP Morning Show, Tom Kelly, Rob Cherry, we are with you on this President's Day Monday morning, 215-592-9494, if you want to get in. Talking about a number of topics today, are you appreciating this Super Bowl championship more than 2024, or more than 2017, rather, the 2024 championship? Also, are you fully in on Nick Sirianni? Because I was astonished yesterday being on with Al. The fact that there's anybody who could still doubt Nick Sirianni's value, doubt that he does a great job. I think, Rob, this is the way I phrased it, the best clutch coaching performance I've seen. Like, if he didn't have a great year, he was going to get fired. How could anybody not be a believer in Nick Sirianni?
Well, when they were 2-2, and even when they were 3-2,
yeah,
and
the Browns game,
yelling at the fans and all that, it's like it just seemed amateurish. But what did they do? They won 9 straight after that. They lost one game. After the bye, and they only lost that game because Hurts was out.
Yeah, I mean, astonishing, and I think Nick's going to get an extension. I think it's well deserved.
Yeah,
and I mean, would you be surprised if he wasn't here in 2029, 2030? I would be. Like, I think he's going to be here for the long haul. I think Nick is that guy you can really commit to. And, like, Al disagreed with me. Al said, you know, a lot of things can happen.
Well, a lot of things could happen. He could burn out, or
yeah,
they could burn out on him.
I just don't see it happening, though.
The players could decide to tune him out, which sometimes happens after a while. But right now, he's got everybody buying in.
Right.
And he's had everybody, except for that little stretch last year when they seemed to quit on him and the defense was awful. They've bought in just about everything he said, and you know, we've ridiculed him for some of the stuff he said and some of the stuff he's done. But the players haven't given up on him. And you know, we saw what happened this year. They won a Super Bowl for him.
Absolutely.
Or with him.
So want to know if you're totally sold on Nick Sirianni. Are you appreciating this Super Bowl championship more than the last one? And our Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com, at WIP Morning Show on Twitter. As of today, who's the best quarterback in Eagles history? 80% say Jalen Hurts, 15% say Donovan McNabb, 5% say other.
And you're upset
about it. I can see the pride.
You're upset.
I'm not upset about it.
Yes,
I disagree with it.
Yeah.
I'm not upset about it.
You're upset that Donovan has been usurped by a guy that actually won a Super Bowl.
No, I think Donovan is the most disrespected athlete in the history of this town. I mean, I
would think that 5% probably is voting for Nick Foles.
Maybe. Do you think Donovan's disrespected? Can you at least say that?
No. I think Donovan gets his due. Most people say he's the best quarterback, or said it before Jalen Hurts won a Super Bowl.
Most people don't. Only 15% people are saying that.
Well, look, the guy's body of work was, he was here, what, 11 seasons? Didn't deliver. Got him to the playoffs. They won an NFC Championship once. 1-4 in NFC Championship games. And several of those games,
Not all his fault.
In those games.
The Carolina game.
Except for St. Louis.
No receivers. Westbrook was hurt.
Whose fault was that?
What are you going to do? Not Donovan's fault.
That's Andy Reid's fault.
Okay.
The great God, Andy Reid.
Well, don't blame Donovan. The Bucks game wasn't on Donovan.
That was Andy Reid's game plan. Was awful.
Okay. Well, the game plan was terrible. He was a great coach.
Not in that game.
Well, fair enough. 215-592-9494. And our side topic today, president of Philadelphia sports over the last 50 years. I went with Howie Roseman. Rob went with David Montgomery. A lot of votes for Howie today.
And an Ed Snyder vote as well. And a Mike Schmidt vote.
And a Mike Schmidt vote. So there you go. 215-592-9494. And this was a rough weekend. First weekend without football. And we'll get back to the phones in a second here. But President's Day. And Rob, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about what you were watching this weekend. What did you watch this
weekend? Here's what I watched on Saturday.
To take the whole of football.
Saturday during the day, I watched St. Joe, George Mason. St. Joe blew a lead and lost that game at the last minute.
No, that must have been thrilling.
I watched the Saturday night. I actually watched the three-point shootout and the slam dunk contest.
Ugh.
The slam dunk was actually pretty good.
Mac McClung jumped over a car. Get guys to play in the league. Well, this guy's a fraud. He's not even in the NBA.
He's on Orlando's roster, but he doesn't play.
Yeah.
Or he's G League.
He's not a real player.
Sunday during the day, I watched a great basketball game between two powerhouses, South Carolina and UConn, the women.
Okay.
Geno versus Dawn. And
who won?
UConn blew them out.
Oh, wow.
At South Carolina. But those are the two best coaches in women's basketball, both from this area. Dawn Staley from North Philly and Geno from Norristown. Then I watched St. Joe Creighton and Maryland, Iowa, men's games. And at night, Sunday night, last night, I did not watch that All-Star ridiculous thing. I watched the Saturday Night Live 50th anniversary show.
I watched some of that, too. The All-Star game was awful. I mean, just terrible,
ridiculous,
as usual.
Yeah.
But this is, and I watched like an hour of that Saturday Night Live thing. But I got to ask you guys, is it not ridiculous that they have this big 50th anniversary Saturday Night Live show, and it's on a Sunday? The show is literally branded as Saturday Night Live.
That's a good point.
How are they having it on a Sunday?
That's a good point.
Am I the only one who's enraged by this?
So, no, they did the exact same
thing.
This
seems like something you would be upset about.
So I remember they did the exact same thing, same exact weekend. I remember against the NBA All-Star game 10 years ago, they did an SNL 40th special.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they know nobody's going to watch this crap, so this is the time we should put it on.
They actually showed it on Saturday. I forgot I watched this too. Saturday night at 10 o'clock. They showed the first episode ever of Saturday Night Live. George Carlin hosting with, I'm trying to remember who the musical guest was, but George and Paul Simon.
Tom, the reason is because they need 3 hours, not their usual hour and a half.
Yeah.
So if the local news airs at 11, they couldn't do this on Saturday night from 8 to whatever time. They need the Sunday time slot.
They can bump the local news. They bump the local news for sports
all the
time. They
bumped it last night. They went to 11:30.
Well, they ended up going late. But you can't schedule it. They probably got better ratings on a Sunday night than they got it Saturday.
They are not going to schedule the Saturday Night Live 50th anniversary show around us needing to see the local news at 11 o'clock.
It was a great show.
But do you understand? It's twice the length of a regular show, so they want it on Sunday. It didn't come on at the usual time either. You want it on at 11:30?
No, I want it on at 8 o'clock. The show's called Saturday Night Live. How's it on a Sunday? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
They did it for the 40th also.
I don't know why it bothers me so much.
Did you watch it, though?
I watched like an hour of it. It was pretty good.
It was really good. It was very good. Very good.
I liked when Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were going around the audience.
That was funny.
Ryan Reynolds was pretty funny.
Did you see all the people in the audience?
Yeah.
Jerry Seinfeld, Kevin Costner, all these people.
I didn't get to that part. Didn't even get recognized. Yeah.
All these big stars.
I didn't see Seinfeld. I saw Elaine was in the audience.
Seinfeld was there.
Larry David was behind him. Julia Louis-Dreyfus was there.
Meryl Streep was in a sketch.
Oh, really?
Meryl Streep was there. She killed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to check out the rest
of it. De Niro was in a sketch. He killed.
I made it till the Weekend Update part, then I fell asleep.
The Weekend Update was very good.
Yeah. So.
And they had Bill Murray come on.
The Bill Murray and ranked the cast members.
That was funny.
I turned it off in the middle of the Weekend Update. I didn't get it. You guys spoiled it for me again. I got to the middle of the Weekend Update, then I fell asleep.
They did a thing where did you get to the part with the rankings?
No.
So he ranks all the Weekend Update anchors, and he goes, in honor of Black History Month, we're going to rank all the black anchors, and it's just Michael Che.
It's pretty good.
By the way, I have my list of my top 10 Saturday Night Live people of all time.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Wow. Do you want to tease it for later on, or do you want to give it to us now? I mean,
a little later on.
Yeah. This is big stuff.
This is my top 10 of all time.
I don't. I, I haven't watched enough Saturday Night Live to properly give a top 10. Are you one of these guys who watched it religiously for years?
It was, when it came on in 1975, people would stay home Saturday night to watch, because we didn't have VCRs back then.
Right.
VCRs weren't until the early 80s.
You make
We'd
me feel,
stay home and watch it.
I love working with you, Rob. You make me feel so much younger.
Well, I mean, a lot older, that's why.
Yeah. But, okay, so we'll get to Rob's top 10 Saturday Night Live personalities coming up later this hour.
Adam Sandler did a SNL 50th song, which was pretty good.
Excellent. Okay. It was excellent. He did one for the 40th. He did a, was it Chris Farley?
For Chris Farley, yeah.
Which was really good, too.
All right. Well, still bothers me it's not on Saturday, but
The next one they'll do on Saturday.
I hope so.
We'll send a message to Lorne Michaels.
Do the right thing. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Scott in King of Prussia. What's up, Scott?
Morning, gentlemen.
How you doing, man?
Good, doing well. Rob, that was an excellent showing in that little history competition there.
Thank you.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have a photographic memory?
No, not at all. I'll watch Jeopardy and say, I know the answer, I just can't get it out of my brain at some point. No.
I've always wondered about that, because when I listen to you do your openings, you can cite things that seem to bring that out.
My opening monologue, I usually write down. I have it written down. It's not off the top of my head, to be honest.
Gotcha. So. And let me just say, Tom Kelly, you did a great job of playing the role of the tomato can that humor usually faces every Friday.
It was not intentional, Scott. I thought those were difficult questions, man. I'm not a big presidential history buff.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Switching gears to the Phillies. So I tried squinting really hard, and you know what? Even through squinting, Trey Turner still can't play shortstop.
Yes,
no, he
Scott.
Can't. He
yeah.
can't.
I agree with
yep.
you.
Second
yep.
base.
Squinting doesn't help. Second base is where I would put him, too. I would flip him and Scott, and you got nothing to lose on that. He should be able to handle second base. He handled it in the past just fine, Turner, that is.
Well, this is the thing, Scott. I think they know that Trey Turner can't play shortstop. They're scared to move
Absolutely
him. I mean,
no.
it's
What, are they scared of him?
Yeah, I think that's
what it is. They're afraid of this guy?
They're paying him $300 million. They don't want to lose him mentally. They don't want to annoy him. And I think that's why they're not making the move. I mean, there's no question that you're a better defensive team if Bryson Stott's at shortstop.
There's a lot of intimidation, too, by his agent and by the fact that when he was signed that he was promised a shortstop role. They know that they have a problem here. They know that they cannot win with leaving him at shortstop. So now, you know, how they handle it, I'm not sure. The easiest thing to do would be to put him at second base. But the fact that they're not taking a hard line is telling you that they're not committed to winning. This team's going to get old fast, all right? They have a lot of guys that are over 30. I just to let everybody know, if you take a look at Trey Turner's history and his career, his best baseball was played early in his career.
Washington.
It's right. It was. It was played at Washington, and his game has changed dramatically since then. I got news for people. Listen, when you get to be about 30, and I know things are changing in baseball, but most of the time you don't get better, all right? They can tell you he's working hard, it's short, and all that nonsense. Everybody works hard. It's professional baseball, okay? He cannot man the position. He needs to be taken off the position. You cannot have a shortstop that can't consistently field. It's that simple.
I hear you, Scott. Who do you have as the president of Philadelphia sports over the last 50 years?
Well, I don't think it's a great answer, but it's my answer, and I'm going to go with Howard Eskin.
Well, there you go, Scott. Appreciate the call. Thanks. Thanks for that one. There you go.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I think with Trey Turner at shortstop, like I am really bothered by the fact that the Phillies are just shutting this down. Like, Dave Dombrowski was asked by Tim Kelly of Vaughn Patterson at the end of last season about Trey Turner and all the metrics pointing to the fact he's not a very good shortstop. I mean, all you have to do is watch the games, realize he's not a very good shortstop. And Dave Dombrowski just immediately shutting it down and saying, yeah, he's coming back and playing that position. That was a killer. In that game four, you remember, Rob, that the Mets had the bases loaded, nobody out. There's a ball hit to short. That should have been a double play.
Yep.
Instead, he like double clutches, has to take his time so he can make an accurate throw, and that leads to the grand slam. You get a double play there, that entire game might change.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Trey Turner. It seems like mentally he's not as strong as he should be. If he's going to be bothered by moving positions, if he needs a standing ovation to jumpstart his career or whatever, this guy's been in the league forever, for 10 years or so, and this type of thing bothers him?
Well, he's wild.
He's not a Philadelphia player.
He's wildly inconsistent. Yeah. And this is the thing. Like, you'll get him for a month, and it'll look like, okay, well, this guy's one of the top 10 players in baseball. But then, I'm not willing to trade that for the 6 weeks where he's average to below average. And, you know, if that's the way it's going to be at the plate, you need to at least be an elite fielder. He's not an elite fielder. And it bothers me that if you just flip-flop him and Stott, you're immediately a better team. They won't even entertain it because I don't think they want to bother Trey Turner.
Having said that, I'd put him in the leadoff spot because I don't want Schwarber in the leadoff spot anymore.
Well, and to me, it's not that I don't want Schwarber in the leadoff spot. I like Schwarber there typically. I just think you got to change something.
Yeah.
Like, you are coming back with the same players. The offense... And because it wasn't, as much as they want to say it, it wasn't just a bad week.
It's
the definition
of insanity, just doing the same thing over and over again, getting the same results.
Yeah, they were a bad offense second half of the year. And if you're not going to change the players, I do think probably moving Turner up the leadoff spot, going Harper second, maybe Bohm third, Schwarber fourth, that's probably the way you got to go.
And the only hitter they brought in was this guy Kepler.
Yeah, Max Kepler.
Not even a great hitter.
Not Gabe Kepler.
Yeah, Max Kepler. He's not even a great hitter.
Yeah.
But this is the hitter they brought in.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they should do. Maybe they need to bring Gabe back into the organization.
I was a Gabe guy.
You were a Gabe guy?
I didn't hate him like some people did.
I thought you were very anti-Gabe.
That's the upset of the century.
I didn't mind Gabe. I thought he was
a Gabe man.
He had some interesting ideas. He's just, you know, the pitching staff fell apart in the second half in September that year.
Here we go. A couple Gabe men.
Manage every game like game seven.
Yeah.
There you go.
Pinch hit for Scott Carey in the second inning.
He's the guy that said the two-hole hitter can be Bryce, can be like a, you know, your power hitter. I'd never heard that before.
He was ahead of time on that one.
Yeah, he was.
Every team does that.
Everybody's doing it. When he did it, I said, you're nuts. You put your best hitter at four. Your cleanup hitter is the guy that's going to knock in runs. You don't put him at number two.
Yeah.
But it worked out.
And I think, it's going to be interesting to see how the Phillies structure that lineup in spring training and to start the year, though. Let's go to Kevin in Germantown. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, I got my lineup and also the steal of the draft maybe for Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, people might forget about it with the lineup that's coming. But how about Arch Manning coming out, a lefty runner to back up Hurts and stuff like that? He won't play much, but be behind him as a runner and also a passer. And he has the name and also the recognition.
I thought he was staying where he is to be the starter this year.
Yeah, he's going to be in college another few years.
I don't know. We couldn't beat out Ewers or something was there. They just, maybe they're just hiding them in, you know, in perspective. But I had my lineup for the Phillies, you know, the one hell of a lineup that could go over and with Rob Thompson coaching and some power in there.
Well, who would you have leading off, Kevin?
Center fielder, Kevin Fritz, DH Warps, two, first base,
what?
Harper, right field, Castellanos, catcher, Real Muto, shortstop, Turner, six. Bomb at third, Stott, eight, and left fielder Marsh at nine.
Wait, so who would you have leading off?
Kevin Fritz, myself.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you. There you go.
Great call, Kevin. Well done. So he wants to play center field, and he wants Arch Manning to be the Eagles' backup quarterback.
Arch Manning is it Texas he's at?
Yeah.
He's staying. He's going to be the starter this year.
Yeah.
By the way, Peyton.
I saw that.
Peyton was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. How did you think he did?
He was pretty funny.
He's good.
Peyton, for a guy that's always deadpan, he's actually pretty funny.
I like the Mannings.
Yeah.
I got to say, I used to hate Eli as a player. Eli's pretty funny, though.
Well, the Manning broadcast they do is actually pretty good. And the commercials they do have always been good.
Yeah.
There aren't too many of them, but they're always good.
Yeah. So, Peyton Manning, good for him. It was a star-studded cast in that audience last night.
It's like, everywhere you look, it's like, wow, that guy's just a member of the audience?
What do you think a ticket to that would have cost?
I don't think there were tickets.
You don't even think you're on sale?
That was a VIP. That's a VIP
strictly,
event.
You don't think they sold like one or two tickets out to just normal people?
I think
not that big a studio.
Friends of the show, friends of whoever works on the show probably got in. But it was like VIP only. That was a VIP VIP audience, not just a VIP cast.
That would have been an unbelievable experience, though.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To be there.
Could just be some random guy just sitting next to like Paul McCartney, yeah. Larry David, Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, give people an opportunity. Yeah,
sure.
That's not going to happen.
Just a few people. I mean, they could have made a ton of money off those. You could sell one of those tickets for $1 million. Right?
It's all about money to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. NBC is really strapped for cash, I bet.
They're on a fixed income.
Hey, every million helps. Yeah. Let's go to Tom in Dover. What's up, Tom? Yo, Tom.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, Tom, Kelly, you know, I changed the name to Terrified Kelly. I got to keep that terrified on you, man.
Tom, I was terrified going into that game. I was wrong.
You were scared of the Super Bowl?
I was scared, yeah.
Andy Reid, yeah. I'm sorry.
Hey, you were supposed to go the whole hour.
I wasn't supposed to say a thing.
Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Rob, I called in one night, man, because he was talking about how terrified he was, and I just couldn't believe him because Tom. That's my guy, man. He's one of the guys on the radio, man, that I like to listen to. And I couldn't, he was so terrified so many times, I couldn't believe it. So I called him and gave my reasons why he shouldn't be terrified. And then when I hung up, him and Al McGanney just talked about me like a dog.
Come on, Tom. It's all in good fun. It's all in good fun.
I know it was. That's why I just said I had to call you Terrifying Kelly for a little while.
All right.
But listen, man, I'm still on the high from the Super Bowl, man. I'm going to be on the high for a while, you know, because we don't got a whole lot to look for with these Phillies. They call themselves running it back. They're not one of the best teams in the National League that they could run it back. I'm telling you, teams around them got better. And they didn't do nothing with the bullpen. And you think you're coming back with the same starters that we ended the year with? I don't see the Phillies running it back.
Well, their rotation is pretty good.
They could be a wild card.
No, their rotation is very, very good.
The rotation. What about them stick stuff? Them bats, you can't always go for the long ball. They don't know how to play small ball.
Yeah, Tom, I think the offense is a problem. Tom, I think the offense is an issue. I mean, we saw it last year in the playoffs where they weren't able to hit consistently. And really, it wasn't just that series. Like, the second half of the year, they weren't a good offensive team. And I don't know what the expectation is, how they expect it to be a lot better when you've gone cold in the playoffs two straight years. Last year, for the last 70 games, you were very average. I don't expect it to be a whole lot different. I really don't.
So that's all, man. I guess I'm going to just be sitting around, man, waiting for football season to come back.
There you go, Tom.
I'm going to run it back. Really, I do.
Oh, I hope so, yeah. Tom. Appreciate the call. But the good thing is...
Well, you're not sitting around waiting for the Sixers playoffs?
We have the Sixers. By the way, did you see Paul George? He's been enjoying himself on vacation this week.
No, what has Paul George been doing?
A much-needed vacation. Well, he's had a very active, what is it, Instagram page?
Instagram story.
Oh, okay.
In which his tongue was out in a suggestive manner towards what I believe is his wife's breast.
Yeah. Yeah.
So check that on Instagram?
He did.
Yeah. Paul George, I mean, he's on vacation. It's been a rough start for him, Rob. I mean, he's dealt with, and again, like, we're all praying for Paul's pinky. It's been a very serious thing he's been dealing with.
He's a real Sixer, Paul George.
He's a loser. He is a total loser. And I can't stand that guy. I'm at the point, Rob, where I don't want him to play another game for the Sixers. I would say shut him down, trade his ass in the offseason. I don't want to see him again.
What about Embiid? You want him back?
No, I don't want him back either. I want both of them gone. With Embiid, I understand that it's probably not going to happen. He'll probably be back next year. I'd shut them both down, though. I mean, the season's over. Shut them down.
You're 20-34. You're tied for 11th. They just lost to the Nets and Toronto.
Yeah.
Before the break.
And in the Toronto
game. Both those
teams
are terrible.
And Toronto didn't have half their guys, basically. They just traded for Brandon Ingram. Didn't have him. Didn't have RJ Barrett. You add your big three, as Daryl Morey would say, Joel Embiid, Paul George, Tyrese Maxey. You still lost.
And Maxey was awful in that game.
But don't worry. Incredible
fight.
That was Kate Scott's call at the end of the Nets game, by the way.
Which
incredible fight from our Sixers.
Incredible fight?
Yes.
They lost to the Nets.
Yes.
It's the Nets they lost
it's
to.
It's one of the most remarkable calls in sports broadcasting history, in my opinion.
I'm embarrassed every time I watch that team.
They're terrible. They're pathetic. And I think it got overshadowed because we were leading up to the Super Bowl. But Daryl Morey is telling the fans that this is still a championship contending team.
What was the actual quote?
If you squint, you can still see a championship contending
team. That's what he said?
I'm squinting. I'm not seeing it.
How is this guy getting away with this?
Rob.
Well, because the Eagles won a Super Bowl.
You've been around, obviously, a really long time. Is that the most insulting quote you've ever heard from a Philadelphia sports figure in the city?
If it's not, it's very close. Because that's
would you like to hear it? I have the sound.
Yes, I'd like to hear the sound for this.
We're just focused on championship. And I know you have to squint a little, but we feel like this group can still do that.
Does he watch his team play night after night?
No.
I don't know if he does.
Even with Embiid, they stink.
No, it's completely insulting that you would say that to your fan base. Because like you said, we watch the team play. We see this crap every night. We know how bad they are. And I'm just so done with all of them. But especially Paul George. Like, you think you sign a $212 million contract. And you come in, you don't play in half the games. He's leaking the day after he scores 2 points to Shams Charania that he's got a bad knee. He's complaining about his pinky. It's like, where is your professional pride as a player to come in and do your job?
There was a graphic when during Super Bowl week that Joel Embiid may need surgery on his knee.
Yeah. Well, that's what he says.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know if it's
Who
even...
Who runs this thing?
I don't know if it's even true or if it's just something Joel felt like saying that day.
The guy that runs the team is saying if you squint, we'll be a championship team?
Yeah.
Is he delusional?
And Joel says he needs more surgery and extended time for a break. Well, he could have had that time for a break last summer.
Yeah, but he played in the Olympics because he wanted to win something.
Exactly.
He won a gold medal. Hey, he's an MVP. He won a gold medal. But all he's done for Philadelphia, that's what he wanted to talk about earlier this year. After all I've done for this city, what has he done for the city?
Nothing. Nothing. They're all losers. And I think that's the difference. When you look at the Eagles organization compared to the Sixers, there is a major difference in culture and a difference in what they prioritize. Like Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, they prioritize culture. And that's a big part
of why. They prioritize winning Super Bowls or getting to a Super Bowl.
But that's a big part of it is what I'm saying, is that's why they got rid of Hassan Reddick. You know, because he had the whole contract dispute and there were questions about whether he was playing for himself last year, all that stuff. There's a difference in prioritizing that kind of thing when you're the Sixers and they just look at, okay, well, Paul George theoretically should fit well with these guys. Okay, well, what if Paul George is just a losing player like he's demonstrated his entire career? You know, they don't care about that stuff. Yeah. And ultimately, that's why they lose.
One franchise is the best team in the NFC this century. Best team in the NFC this century. The evidence is all there. The Eagles are the best team in the NFC this century. And one of the top, I say top three teams in the league, the NFL, you got to go New England, Chiefs, Eagles. Top three teams in the NFL this century.
Yeah.
The Sixers have been, in this century, have been to the NBA Finals once and the Conference Finals once in 2001. Since then, they've been chasing it, and then they broke up the team or just had that 4 years of tanking because they didn't want to go to the second round of the playoffs. They wanted to get past that and still haven't.
Yeah.
And embarrass us with some of the comments they make, with what the players say and what the general manager says. It's just an embarrassment what they are.
Yeah, it's pathetic, and it all stems, I think, down from the top. And when you don't have a good organizational culture, that's why you fold when things get tough.
And by the way, that scam they pulled on the city with the, we want an arena downtown. Oh, we got an arena downtown? Oh, by the way, we're going to stay in South Philadelphia.
Yeah, that was...
the whole scam they pulled.
Yeah, that was that was great. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Mike in Delaware. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Great show. The Sirianni thing, I'm still not 100% sold on Sirianni. You know, Booch had called in he had a show earlier in August, like right before the season. He said, well, what's the difference between 23 and going to be the difference between 24? And I said, tongue in cheek, maybe it would be because of Big Dom. You know, if we remember last in 23, when he got suspended after that San Francisco, it seemed like everything just went downhill from there. And I don't know if that was a coincidence or what, but I kind of thought, you know, that he played a big part in like mending relationships, bridging gaps. You saw what he did during the, you know, with him and Jalen during the preseason and, you know, what he did with Carter and Ertz and all the things that he did. I just think he was just, you know, and Sirianni, I just think he's a product of Big Dom and Vic Fangio, just like Andy was a product of Jimmy Johnson. And, you know, I think that, you know, if, you know.
So, Mike, you think that Nick Sirianni you think Big Dom's really the guy coaching the team, essentially?
I don't think he's coaching the team, but what I do think is that he's behind and he's telling Jalen and he's in the players' ears, like, hey, listen to, I don't think these guys 100% respect that. Oh, Jalen definitely didn't respect him and do what he wanted to do, like, you know, coach him. And
why would you think that wouldn't be the case now? What gives you the impression they don't respect him based on this season?
Not this season. Well, this season, I just think because of Big Dom. I just think last year, you know, you saw the incident with Reddick when he wasn't there. That fight with Reddick and, you know, whatever that was. And then I just think it was, you know, Big Dom is behind the scenes, and he's in these guys' ears, and he's listen, man, you got to listen to Sirianni, you got to listen. And the fact that, you know, I go back to, you know, the Super Bowl. Like, we should have won that Super Bowl. You know, we should have won that Super Bowl. If he goes for it on 4th-and-3, I think we win that Super Bowl.
Well, what about the decisions he made last week? What about him punting at the end of the first half on 4th-and-3 and setting up, you know, getting the turnover and the touchdown? Do you not give him credit for that?
Well, I do, and what I so that's why I say I'm not 100%. I think he has evolved, like, you know, as far as like game day management. Like, you know, his game day management, I think, is getting better. And, you know, like, just like Andy Reid, like, you know, but you see what happened in the Super Bowl with Andy Reid. He reverted back to, we saw 14 years of that with the Philadelphia Eagles, where he just said, I'm not going to run the ball. You know, I'm just going to, you know, throw 100,000 times. And, you know, that's why they lose Kellen Moore, I could say, out-coached Andy Reid in that game. But I just think, like I said, it just was. And what worries me next year, if they get Petrillo, we could see a repeat of 23 where, you know, Sirianni says, hey, I'm going to start meddling in the offense, and it just goes left real quick.
Well, I hear you, Mike, and appreciate the call. I think that's unfair to Nick Sirianni. Like, I really do. And as far as the offensive coordinator thing, that's something we can get into in the next segment here, because I do think there are advantages to going outside the organization and not going with a guy like Kevin Petullo. But I think when we look at last year, I think it's unfair to say it was totally on Nick Sirianni. And this is the problem that I have, Rob, with people with Nick, is because they want to fully blame him for 2023, but don't want to give him any credit for 2024.
They should. I mean, I blame him for 2023, but you got to give him credit for 2024.
Right.
But also, there was some meddling going on in 2023. After that Cowboy game, which they turned the ball over a ton. They basically gave that game to the Cowboys with all the turnovers. After that game, somebody panicked. And I think it was Howie, maybe Jeff Lurie, but I think it was mainly Howie that panicked and said, let's make Matt Patricia in charge of the defense instead of Sean Desai, because they had fallen apart against the 49ers before the Dallas game. And what happened in that game is the defense actually played pretty decently in the next game against Seattle, mm-hmm. until it actually mattered. To make a stop at the end of the game, they couldn't do that. And after that, the defense didn't make a stop the rest of the way. They got worse under Matt Patricia. And I think Howie kind of felt responsible for that and said, all right, that's not all Nick.
They did, and we don't fully know what happened. You
no,
know, whether
that's my speculation.
No, and that's fair. Whether it was the front office, whether it was a Nick Sirianni decision. But
it was a bad decision, as it was, whoever made it.
Absolutely. And I think it's totally fair to criticize Nick for the end of 2023. I did, and I thought at the end of last season, like a lot of people did, I would have gone in a different direction. I would have moved on from Nick. But you can't we can't look at this season now and just say, oh, well, the team was so good. Look
no,
at this roster.
No, he did a phenomenal job.
Right.
As bad as he was the first four games, as bad as that Cleveland thing happened with the fans, things got better as the season went along, and they got stronger, and they peaked in the Super Bowl, and that's a credit to the coach
I thought Nick's answer after the Super Bowl the next day was really interesting. Like, he talked about how in the end he was grateful for 2023, yeah. The fact that they went through adversity, and you can hear that and say, oh, well, he's just saying that after the fact. I think it's true. Like, I think part of the reason why things did go badly last year is because that team really hadn't dealt with adversity. I mean, think of that 2022 season. They really didn't have a lot of turbulence that year. It was kind of they had an easy schedule. Things kind of went pretty smoothly. You had the Jalen shoulder injury late in the regular season.
Which they lost both the games without him.
They did.
Because he would have been MVP.
Yes. But I do think, like, when you look at teams, you do need to go through those things. You do need to go through some adversity. It makes you stronger on the other side. And that's why, you know, Nick deserves credit for that. He deserves credit for the way he handled it.
Well, Jalen at one point was like 26-3 in like 29. When they were 10-1 last year. He was like 26-3 in games he started.
Mm-hmm.
And no quarterback had ever done that before.
No.
In the history of football.
Yeah. So that's my biggest issue with the Nick Sirianni criticism. It's not that you can't criticize him for 2023.
You got to give him credit for what he did.
You got to give him credit for what he did as well. 215.
You can't say it's luck. It's nothing like that at all.
No, it's not. I mean, you can't win without your coach being a big part of the success, especially in this league. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But quickly before the breakout, or Rob, I'm sorry.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I'm sorry.
My name is Rob.
I know. Your name is Rob. Rob
Chatter. Don. You can call me Don.
Rob, what's your top 10 SNL?
My top 10 SNL.
Characters.
Right, top 10 performers. Not necessarily in order, but these are the top 10. John Belushi, brilliant, first season. Dan Aykroyd, brilliant, first season. Bill Murray was I think he came in the second or third season. Eddie Murphy launched his career. Tina Fey, the local connection, Upper Darby. I'd say the best female of all the cast members of all over the years. Kenan Thompson, who's been there longer than anybody.
He's been there forever.
Yeah.
I remember him when he was doing Good Burger on Nickelodeon.
Kenan and Kel.
Yeah, Kenan and Kel.
On Nickelodeon. Right. A lot of kids grew
since
up with
2003
him.
He's been on. It's 22 years.
That is amazing. But because
a lifetimer.
The two guys doing updates now, I think, belong there, too. Michael Che and Colin Jost. I love their chemistry.
Isn't he married to Scarlett Johansson?
He is. He is. I love the fact that they, I think twice a year.
They met on SNL.
Really?
She was guest hosting, and they met, like, backstage or something.
That's why she was on the show last night, I guess.
Yeah.
She's come back a number of times, yes.
She
anyway.
Was on a show where he was reading... twice a year, they write scripts for each other, and it's like they totally embarrass each other, and they have to read it.
Oh, really?
And the last time...
It's a weekend update bit where they write jokes, for each other.
Yeah, okay.
And
yeah.
It's racist, you know, it's all kinds of ridiculous stuff, but it's funny.
Okay.
So, and by the way, one of the things they did last night was they showed clips of old shows where it just is so politically incorrect today.
Yeah, it was like the stuff we shouldn't air.
Yeah.
But we're going to air it anyway.
But it was funny as hell. So Che and Jost go in there as well. And Adam Sandler and Kate McKinnon. That's my top 10.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Nice top 10.
Kate McKinnon was great in that sketch with Meryl Streep.
Oh, that was phenomenal. That was.
They were just trying not to crack up the entire time.
That's what was great about it. That was part of what was great.
I'm going to have to watch the rest of this tonight. So thank you, Rob, for your top 10.
You're welcome.
And coming up at 9:30, highlight of the show, This Day in History.
You'll be involved.
With Rob Jerry.
You'll be involved.
I'll be involved.
There'll be some quizzes involved.
That's a segment I'm supposed to take off.
No. You'll be involved.
I thought I was
Tom wanted
to
leave early.
Chill. Yeah, yeah. I thought I'd be able to leave at 9:30 and you
not
just
happening.
Go till 10:15.
Not happening.
Run into the next show.
You'll be involved in these.
Okay. Yeah. Well, sounds good.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.